and now evangelist David Shannon.
Well, open your Bibles to Mark, the 7th chapter. Mark, the 7th chapter. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And then in the chorus, this is my story. This is my song. Powerful, powerful message within that song. A very beautiful song. And I hope that as you sung that just a few minutes ago, I hope you meant it. That is a beautiful story to tell. Beautiful song to sing. The lesson this evening is quite simple, but yet it is one of those lessons that even in its simplicity, if we can grasp the meaning of it, it will change our lives. Probably an area that all of us, because of our human nature, not because of our wickedness, but because of our human nature, we struggle in this area. Let's see the story here as we look in Mark, the 7th chapter, verse 24. A story that is very hard at times to understand. And from thence, verse 24, he, Jesus, arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know of it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek of Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus saith unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Very often when we read of the words, the occurrences, the occasions of Jesus, the situations about Him, we're not given every detail. So therefore, it's not possible to understand everything about every story. Perhaps this is one of those stories. But yet it still is a story that I doubt any of us can read this story and wonder, why? Why would Jesus say such a thing to a woman that came to seek help? You know, there are many images that we paint in our mind of what God should be. There are images we paint in our mind of what Christ was on this earth and the behavior and the attitude that He should have. And sometimes we read in the Scripture and it's hard for us to take the things that are said and relate them to those pictures that we have painted. For example, how many of us with the image we have painted of our loving Heavenly Father can to really easily imagine God saying to Abraham, take your son and offering on that altar. You see, that's not the image I have of God painted in my mind. But yet, we know that through that act, God did stop him, but yet it proved the great faith and he became the father of many nations because of his great faith. Here in this story, I suggest to you that there are things in this story that perhaps goes against the grain of what we often think of Jesus. It's hard for us to imagine Jesus turning and saying such a remark to a woman. But let us this evening learn two major things. Number one, Jesus needed rest. You see, it's quite simple there in the 24th verse that when he went into the house, he would have no man to know it, but he could not be hid. You remember our sermon this morning when we looked in Mark, the 2nd chapter? What happened when Jesus entered into that house? The house was filled, wasn't it? As a matter of fact, the house could not hold everyone that was there. And even once it was filled, the roof was tore off so another could be brought in. You see, Jesus, surely he struggled with the fact of having enough quiet time. Because it seemed that everywhere he went, at least one, if not a whole multitude, followed Him to where He was. This evening I ask you, do you struggle with quiet time? Do you have as one of your priorities in life a time set aside very often to gather your thoughts, to think about who you are spiritually and where you're going spiritually, to think about your goals, the motives within your heart, the desires you have for the future? Brethren, those are things we must consider if we are to be the spiritual person that God wants us to be. And at times I sincerely believe that we make mistakes because we fail to give ourselves quiet time. Think about it. Let me say it again and you say if you agree with it. I believe that many times we make mistakes because we fail to give ourselves quiet time. We find ourselves in an area of life that if we would have given thought to it, we've never been there in the first place. What did Jesus do whenever He knew that the hardest hours of His life on earth were before Him? If you will, turn back just a few pages to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew, the 26th chapter. A few verses that we're familiar with, but let's look at them and think of them in the light of this being a quiet time for Jesus to gain strength. Notice there in verse 36 of Matthew 26, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder." Now for time's sake, probably all of us here know that story. We know that Jesus went and He prayed for the cup to be passed from Him, if it be the will of God. He came back to see if the others were praying. They were not. They were asleep. He went again. More quiet time alone. More time to talk to God. More time to collect who He is and what His mission is upon this earth. He goes back and they're not gathering their thoughts. They're not praying to their God. And He goes back and again He goes through this same prayer. Now notice verse 50. When they came to them in verse 50, Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they, laid hands on Jesus, and took Him. Brethren, if you knew that the men were coming to take your life, and you knew it was going to be a cruel execution, you knew that it would be one of crucifixion, could you very calmly say to them, "Friends, wherefore art thou come?" I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus was able to face this in the calm manner in which He did, the obedient manner to the plan that God had given Him, was because He went and first gathered Himself and talked to God about it. Brethren, there's many things in life you and I can conquer. We can overcome. We can stand strong in the Lord if we will so decide and pray about it. So as we look at this story in Mark, the 7th chapter, we see a time when perhaps Jesus felt the urgent need to have some quiet time. We see a time that, as my mother might say, she would say, maybe Jesus was worn to a frazzle. That's what my mother used to say. When she was just completely worn out, she'd say, "I'm worn to a frazzle." Maybe he felt like, as the expression, he was on his last leg. Maybe he felt like he had just helped, and helped all he could help. If we go back and we look at the earlier verses in Mark, the 7th chapter, we see that he dealt with those outside on the simple issue of the washing of hands, and there were those that thought that all the ceremonial acts still must be carried out. And Jesus tried to explain to them that it was important on the inward part of man, not the outward part of man. And brethren, no sooner than he said that, he turned around into a more private setting and had to explain it all over again to his disciples. Brethren, that's frustrating. This was this way for Jesus day in and day out. People coming to him with questions, and then no sooner than he would answer the question of the multitude, the disciples would be asking the same manner. We also see that there were many that wanted him to heal them, many that wanted him to feed them, and so on and so on. With these things in mind, I urge you to look at this story. I believe it was that setting that Jesus felt like he needed to be alone. But then came that request in 26. We see that her simple request was, cast the devil out of my daughter. Now, it's kind of strange in one sense that she would even come to Jesus. As we know, Jesus being a Jew, she was a woman of a Greek religion, probably. She was of a different race. She was Assyrian. She was of a different country. She was Phoenicia. And here she comes to a Jewish man to seek his help. As she seeks out his help, we see very quickly that Jesus' answer does not go with the grain that oftentimes we think, the imagination that of we have painted Jesus in our mind. Why? In other words, his answer was, listen, lady, I'm giving my time to children, to those that deserve to be helped. And later on, now listen, later on, we'll feed the dogs. What would you have said? If Jesus looked you in the eyes upon your request and said, right now I don't have time for dogs, what would you do? I suggest to you, in biblical times, dogs were probably not thought of as man's best friend. As a matter of fact, we can read over and over in the New Testament where dogs is in the same verses in Revelation 22. It's in the same verses with the whoremongers and the drunkards. That's the dogs. We read oftentimes in the Scriptures where right along with the false teachers, that's the dogs. Why would Jesus turn and refer to her as a dog, and what response will she give? Brethren, this is the second point that let's take home with us. Her response was, I'll join right in with your illustration. Even my little children, my dogs, even me, a dog, we deserve the crumbs on the floor. Brethren, hallelujah. The lady is not going to be driven away from Christ. If I can use the term, the lady is thick-skinned. She came to receive help from Jesus, and she's not leaving till she receives help from Jesus Christ. I hope every one of us here tonight desire to be just like this lady. It doesn't matter what you say about me, I want Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the world says about me, I want Jesus Christ. It doesn't even matter if Jesus says something that I can't understand Him saying it, I still know that He's my Savior and I want Jesus Christ. Just as we song a few minutes ago. That's my story. That's my song. Brethren, life is not always fair. I dare to say every one of us here have had times when we felt like someone talked about us. Times when we felt like someone was going behind our back. Times when we felt like we were doing everything right and people were still criticizing us, still misjudging us, and still not giving any support. As a matter of fact, they were taking the rug out from under our feet. Now, what do we say to that? You're probably right. There probably were some that criticized you. There probably are some, even now, that misjudge you. There probably are some that will not support you, whether, hopefully not in the church, but there is that mistake sometime, but especially in the world. And what should we say to ourselves this evening? God, help me to be like the woman in Mark 7. Help me to be thick-skinned. Help nothing to turn me away from God. When it comes to a good work, my attitude should be, your attitude should be, criticism will not stop me from accomplishing good. When it comes to my faith in God, our attitude should be, criticism will not deter my faith in God. I want to be faithful. If you will, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the second chapter. In light of of all that's been said about this second point. Let's see what Peter says. In other words, he says the same text here, the same context as what we've read before. Let's begin in verse 20 of 1 Peter, the second chapter. Now notice very carefully, he lays out something here that it's hard for us to understand this because of our human nature. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. Peter, did I understand you right? You do poorly, wrong, sin, and you're punished, but yet you take it patiently. And then, Peter, you expect me to do right, to do well, to do all things decently and in order as God would want me to, and I'm still punished? And you want me to take it patiently? Peter says, that's right. Peter, how do you do it? 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. Remember, He was perfect, but He suffered, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. That's how we do it. We take the good as Christ took the good. We take the persecution as Christ took the persecution. Verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You see, he committed himself to God. That again goes back to that quiet time. Why? Because the only way, brethren, you and I can be thick-skinned today spiritually is if we spend time alone with God preparing for such times. Verse 24, who in His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Tonight, how is your life? How would you be described tonight? Think about it and be honest with yourself. Would you be described as someone who's very thin-skinned? Oh, they can be involved in a good work and a few criticisms, a few wrong turns, and they'll quit. Brethren, let's not be like that. Let's be described as individuals that are thick-skinned. Individuals that when it comes to our faith in God, when it comes to our activities that are carrying out our faith in God, we're strong. And we refuse to quit because of criticism. You remember this morning, if you're in our adult Bible class in the auditorium, the setting of 1 Corinthians 15, the entire chapter talks about that day that is coming, that second coming. And after an entire long chapter, I believe it's 58 verses, discussing the second coming. Finally, there's that last verse. With all of the things in mind about the future, he goes to the present. Be thou steadfast, unmovable, thick-skinned, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Even if someone criticizes you, Paul, yes, even if someone criticizes. Why? Because your work in the Lord is not in vain. This evening, have you been deterred? Are you not as faithful as what you once were? Do you need to come back and ask for the prayers of the church? Tonight is the time to say, I want to be steadfast again. I want to be unmovable, and I don't want anyone to deter me. If you've never come to Christ, why not tonight? What better time could there be to say, I want to have the life of Christ so that I can live with Him eternally? If you're willing to turn away from sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized to wash those sins away, won't you come as we stand, as we sing?